All right, welcome back. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9 Live coming to you from Build 2016 edition. I'm pretty excited to be here. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do, my friend?
My name is Derek Connell. I run the Bing engineering team. So that's my day job. And then for Build, it's my first Build. So it's pretty exciting to be here. For this Build, I was helping, Satya asked me if I could help him with his keynote. Just been orchestrating some of the things in his keynote. So that's been my nighttime job for the past 3 months.
That's quite a way to break you into Build, my friend.
Well, you know, if you're going to go, you may as well go on the deep end, right?
That's right. So tell us a little bit about the involvement you had in the keynote and how that went. Because this process, obviously, is it a long one, a short one? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so like I said, first time at Build. So it started in, I guess, after the break, coming into January, New Year. Seth asked me, you know, he's very keen. And in fact, the keynote just ended very great. I loved the keynote.
Yeah, I did too.
I think Terry did a fantastic job with the Windows 10. The momentum is fantastic. And so that part of it was really great. But Satya's part was really more about the future of intelligence and conversations as a platform. That's the part that over the past 3 months, I've been helping orchestrate it, get some of the tech built out and the code written, and today we announced a number of things which are available, and it's been a fantastic short period of agile development to get ready for this, so it's been good.
So let's talk a little bit about, because I'm a machine learning fan myself, let's talk about building intelligent applications and what Bing's involvement is with that. Maybe you can sort of delve into that.
Yeah, so Bing is, you know, we started out, I'm fortunate to be on Bing since the start. And I guess for the first 6 or 7 years, Bing was really all about just search and sort of building out search. But over the past year or so, it's really become this ingredient technology that's powering a lot of the capabilities at Microsoft. So Bing is a big part of the technology with Cortana. So 2 years ago, we had a fantastic project we did with the Windows team, so great collaboration where we brought Cortana to market together. And it's based on a lot of Bing's machine learning, knowledge of the web, with the Windows UI and natural language at the start. And that's really where a lot of these conversations the platform emerged from, is the, you know, that sort of nascent Cortana UI. And we've seen, you know, Marcus did a fantastic job demoing the stuff that's coming. And he talked about we're getting, you know, a million questions a day by voice. So we're starting to see people have natural language conversations with Cortana on Windows, and now more on a little bit on iOS and Android. But it's sort of, it's been the sort of starting point for us in this new platform that Satya talked about, which is conversations, a platform.
So I did some research in NLP. It is hard. It is like, it is like, as humans, I mean, we have a hard time understanding each other just when we understand the words. But now, how do we go from these mountains of data that we have to actual knowledge that we can use in our intelligent applications? Yeah, what are we doing as a company to assist in that?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, I'll geek out a little bit.
Please, let's geek out. That's what it's all about, right?
So there's a few parts, particularly on natural language, that I think about. I'd frame it this way, which is it starts with the hardware, which is, like this, you have to, you know, have training models for different microarrays and different acoustic models. Like this surface is a little bit more reflective. So in an environment like this, the acoustics are different from, say, you're in your car or you're on your phone, you're sitting in front of your desktop in a quiet office, or you're in a meeting room with many people sitting around. So there's an acoustic model that we have to train for. And that's both hardware, because you've got any different microarrays that you train for. So there's a hardware and microarray part. Then there's the language, just language itself. Do you understand French? Do you understand German? Do you understand the dialects? And that's where there's a lot of data, big data training. You know, some of the work we've done with the Skype team on Skype Translator helps. Getting Cortana out in front of, you know, multiple tens of millions of users that are asking questions with different languages and different dialects helps. But that's a big data machine learning task. And you know, some of the big players, Microsoft, Google, are in that game. But you need that, both the training on the acoustic models and the hardware, plus the language. And now you have a model that allows you to understand just the text that's coming, what people are saying. Next, you have to have intent.
Which is tough, right?
It's tough, right? Because you're taking a sentence, you have to break that sentence apart. You got to figure out, what does it mean? What are the, what, you know, what domain is the question in? Like, if I ask you as a human, you know, what's the weather like outside? Well, you understand that. If you speak English, you understand it. If I ask you in German, you may not understand it, but do you understand that the domain is weather? mm-hmm. that the context is here, outside. And if you do understand that intent, which again is a big data, that's where Bing right. plays such a big role, because our technology has a lot of training data over the years. And then the second part is, if you do understand the domain, can you reach in and get the answer?
Yeah.
And so do you have the knowledge of, you know, we think about knowledge, and particularly for Microsoft, we have in some ways a unique position, where with the Bing investments, we understand the web. And uh-huh. search engines do that. Google
sure, sure.
can do it, we can do it. But then we also have knowledge of corporations. So imagine a question like, which Mark has demoed, which is, remind me to send that document I was working on last night. So you have to understand the sentence, you have to understand it's about a document, and then you have to have access to that document.
I know. And that's so, a lot of stuff going on at the
stuff.
Same time.
But we have this unique combination of both access to this knowledge, understanding of the language, the ability to connect, and it's all about training.
Of course.
Your machine learning is about, do you have a training set? Are you getting clicks or speech is a little bit different because you're looking for word error rate, you're looking for did the user engage or not uh-huh. engage, and then you can use that to train the model. So fascinating space. We have investments in all of them. It's an emerging technical space. We're very excited.
Well, it looks like we have Lily Chang,
hello, Lily.
Is that right? Come on up. Let's scoot over and give her some room.
Lily did an awesome job.
She did
demo.
An awesome job in the demo. Let's scoot over. Now, here's the thing, as we're talking about sort of intelligence and how Bing has sort of learned all of this stuff. And this brings the next question, right? As a developer, when I was doing machine learning, I always did not have enough data.
Sure, you never have enough
data. It's like, I don't have enough data. How am I going to make these models work? And now what we're doing as a company is we're sort of leveraging the stuff we've learned and letting developers have access to that. How are we doing that?
So we have a couple things that we're doing. Today, actually, there's a session right now that we're talking about the bot framework.
Okay.
And so people can go ahead and start, you know, like I said in my talk, probably when you first begin, you need to create these natural language rules, create your dictionaries, and sort of just bootstrap it.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, people will start using your bot.
Here's the thing. Like, I started in NLP. My research was in machine translation and also just learning. The first program I ever wrote was this, I think some program to send a lot of emails of deaths, and I was supposed to case frame it and find out sure. who died and what the disease was. And so it's just a standard, you know, NLP yeah. thing. When I saw that UI, to me it seemed like, wow, this is like yeah, the case sure. framing I was doing before, but so much simpler. I thought it was beautiful UI, so kudos yeah. to your team.
Oh, thanks.
When you guys did that.
I mean, I think one of the things that we found is that there's a certain set of people who are like the scientists.
Right.
And then there's another set of people who may be the developers who are leveraging the tools, yeah. mm-hmm. like the Lewis tool, the language understanding tools that we have, and all the cognitive services. And then there's another set of people who are going to make your bot really have intelligence, so those are the people that are going to use it over time.
Right.
And so you can't assume that you're going to be able to call the developer back and say, like, hey, I need a new rule, or hey, I need to add this new term to the training data, because it's just not feasible over time as your bots, as your bots out there.
Sure.
And so, like I said, these are just sneak peek tools. They're not available today,
of course,
some of the training tools, but we really need to think about how we're designing bots end to end versus just as something that you put out there and then you're done.
Yeah. I see.
And Cornelia mentioned there's 22 APIs under the sort of the broad umbrella of Cortana Intelligence Suite. There's the cognitive services, 22 APIs, and those are pretty cool. Actually, you know, the vision one is over here, but there's vision APIs, there's speech APIs, there's knowledge APIs, which are really important. There's search APIs from the Bing team. And then what did I miss? There's a fifth category. I don't know, remember
there's
everything.
Right?
There's 22 APIs. But those, like, you can get started with those right now. And you're right that when we were all starting out, you had to get your own training data, you had to make it.
Oh, it was so bad.
Whereas now you got access to these APIs and you sort of, I think Saqib did it, and his app is so awesome.
I know.
I mean, he's standing on the shoulder of giants, that he could build this app that was very particular to what he needs, visual impairment, that he's using all these APIs and he's created this really fantastic application.
Yeah, I mean, we've been pretty amazed over the last, like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks coming to build. We've had so many people who don't have the expertise in natural language and
right.
have just picked up these tools inside the company mm-hmm. and started making you know, all kinds of bots, and it's just been it's been really cool to see what people have come up with, and I think some of those examples will surface over the next couple of days, and so just. Yeah, we're pretty excited to see what people do.
So let's talk a little bit now, because I think we've talked about this sort of this APIs that sort of we've sort of burned intelligence in. These things probably have good feedback loops or learning more as they go. Let's talk about what a bot would look like. How would, if I was a developer and I'm like, oh, I want to build a bot, how should I think of this? Because you mentioned there's an end-to-end process. Why don't we start with you?
So I think there's different kinds of people making different kinds of bots,
right.
Obviously. And probably one of the most common kind of bots is one that's just going to take the web page that you already have, or the APIs for your app, or your, you know, or your client app, and it's going to say, you know what, I want to reuse all that app logic. And so those are the examples, I think, that we showed. We love the pizza bot because mm-hmm. it's kind of the canonical bot.
Sure.
But we, you know, we talked to Domino's, and they already have APIs, and so we really tried to build tools that would take the developer in mind who already has something, and how do you really easily wrap conversation around it?
I see. So it's essentially, we already have these large investments in software that
right.
do specific tasks. What we could do is we could sort of automate that with natural language and a bot to sort of fill in the gap between, you know, I have to type something in, or I have
right.
to have this right screen. Instead, now we can just talk to it.
So there's
right.
another bot that people can try out today, I think. I don't know if it's live quite yet, but we also made a build bot for the Build awesome. Conference.
Yeah.
And so just like other people, we already have a web page, we have apps, and so we use that same logic to sort of extend it so that you can converse with it. And it's actually really great to be able to just SMS or, you know, talk to the bot to ask for things while you're, you know, walking around, and you don't have to know that you have to open up, you know, a particular app or download an app and things like that.
That's awesome. So now that we sort of have this notion of leverage your existing application, surround it with bot stuff, for a developer it might be hard for her to say, well, how do I do that? What are the kind of extensions of it? You mentioned 22 APIs.
Yep.
Can you sort of talk about one that you know about really well and how you can sort of leverage that to include it into your system?
Yeah, well, actually, let me jump into the ones I know, which is, let's say, there's some Bing APIs that you can make use of, like image. Like if you're the Domino's pizza, you want to build a bot, because it's a little bit like back in the day when you were building a website.
Right.
You got a few things you got to think about. One, do I have a back-end service? That's what you start with. And really, that's where you want to put most of your investment.
Right.
Then you got to build a UI on top of it. The old days was build a website, and now it's build a bot. And so
nice.
Bot is kind of conversational. A web page is, you know, a HTML frame. And then third, you want to get discovered, which is kind of an interesting new thing we have to think about, which is how do you get your bot to be discovered? And that's where a lot of the work that Mark has talked about, where you can expose the things your service can do to Cortana. And you saw the Skype demo where you use Cortana brokers to a bot. So if you have a pizza, Domino's pizza, you own the service of being a pizza bot. And then you can use the APIs, mostly I would say, to do conversational UI. Because Domino's shouldn't have to be language experts, conversational UI experts. That's where they can use the bot tools that Lily talked about to just layer that on top of their service. And so then it's very cheap for them to take their existing backend service and just use both that. Now, I think the slotting that Lily showed is really the key thing, because you can put language in front of it, but you've got to map it to your service.
Yes.
So I think, you know, the idea of picking locations, picking things like the crib is a great one, because that is what people will say. You know, send me a 12-inch, you know, pepperoni pizza to my crib. Being able to map that to a location, very simple. You don't have to be an NL guy,
yeah.
You don't have to be even a machine learning guy. You can just have some basic data mapping skills and do that, which is great, which means it's very scalable. And that's the route I think most bot guys, you know, because we're going to see, I think, a proliferation. We built some bots, some Bing bots on Skype that you can take advantage of, and we built them in 4 or 5 days.
Wow.
So it was very easy for us to layer on top this stuff, and we didn't have our core engineering team. It was just very quick to do it.
That's cool. You were going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say there was another thing that Dan said in his presentation on the bot framework. So I think Derek mentioned this. Okay, app developers today, they're like, okay, great, I'm going to build an app for Windows, and I might want to build an app for all these other platforms, and now I have to build a web page that works in all these different browsers. And so we're just trying to help there and say, yeah, we would expect people will want to build bots, the same bot for many different platforms. And some of them are slightly different. You know, obviously email is very different than SMS. It's a short message form, very different than Skype or GroupMe, you know, or Slack and some of these other ones. And so the other part of the tool beyond the bot building part is the bot connector.
I see.
And so we've made it really easy for you to just connect your endpoint and hook it up and try it out on these other systems in a more streamlined way so that you might not need to have a different developer, you know, on every different chat application. And we've also done a lot of extra work to make sure that, you know, we work well with other bot kits that are out there, like Slack's bot kit or, you know, just a lot of the other ones that are coming up. So we think it's going to be important as we go forward to really partner with other companies who are all creating tools to try to have some best practices and standards and give people some good tips and tools so they can learn from, you know, what people, some of the early adopters are seeing.
Awesome. Well, let's explore a little bit, if you don't mind. When you say connecting bots together, what does that look like? As a developer, I'm thinking, I'm going to make my bot, someone's going to talk to it, but now you're saying you want these bots to interact. How do you do that?
So what we have is we have a set of channels. We call them channels, kind of after IRC, they had channels.
Right.
So we have channels, but channels are just really apps where people converse. And today, for each application, they have a very different process for how you take your bot and register it and then surface it to people who would want to try it out.
I see.
And so the chat control, the embeddable chat control that Dan talked about, the secure web chat control is an easy way where you can say, hey, I just want to try it out myself. Everybody has a web browser. Like, can we just
slap it on?
Yeah, put that on my web page so that you don't have to go download an app and do that. But yeah, we just try to make it easy so people can test their bot in different platforms. Because just like, you know, just like social networks, sending a post, everyone has different things, different properties, different attributes, you know, different lengths, different things that it supports. And that's, you know, that's just the way the tools are, the communication tools are.
Awesome. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to add in the, because I'm a search guy, we think about search. So one of the things you know, if you even go to Bing.com today, just go to Bing.com in the browser and just search for shopping bots or news bots. We're indexing all the bots so that you can, as a consumer, now you're a developer, you've built the bot, we'll index it because it's just a search problem.
Yeah.
And it's kind of it's early, so it's a smaller search problem. You just search for the bots and you find them. And you click, and then it'll bring you to the conversation canvas that bot is working on.
I see.
So it might be on Telegram. A lot of them are on Skype today because we have a lot of bots that are coming on Skype. And then you can experience them. So that's the consumer in perspective, because consumers will now want to find, if they want to find, hey, I want a news bot or a image bot or whatever.
It's effectively like you could make it the new phone number for your company.
You bet.
Right.
I think every company in the future, we'll see how long it takes with the tools, but I think every company will have a bot that is the UI to their service. And how long it takes, we'll see. I think it'll happen pretty quickly.
I was going to say, you know, we do have a lot to learn. And so it'll be really interesting. Like today, if let's say I'm building a Facebook app, and if you've made that a conversation, it might be like, hello.
Hi.
Can I have your password?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you give me your password? And so you might think that every interaction that you already have today is actually a conversation with your user.
Yeah.
It doesn't use words, but it is a way that you are interacting with your customers. And I think the conversation aspect just makes you think about the basics even more. Is it a polite way to acknowledge that you're thinking or that you're going to give an answer? Is it a polite way to acknowledge that, you know, this is a user? And then, you know, is this somebody that's been here before? Mm-hmm. Is this a new user? And so I think a lot of the things that we just didn't think about when we were building applications, you know, we have the chance to really rethink,
to explore,
in conversation. And so, you know, we didn't really talk about all of the human, social ways of conversing, but I think those are going to be as challenging as the technology.
Got it.
Have you heard what Satya said? He was inspired by, so Chilu runs ASG. Mm-hmm. He talks about his mom, And just, his mom is 80, so, you know, like most of us, our mothers are a little older, parents are a little older. On a website, because Lily is right, the conversation you have on a website is type in your credit card details or add in, sign up for this service, and it's kind of, it's what a little tricky if you're a little older.
Yeah.
But not just that, it's also a little scary, because it's not natural. It's like, right. For us, it's very natural to use a web browser and do things. But if you go to China and you walk around, you'll see people with the phone held like this, they don't hold it like this, in front of them, talking to their phone and interacting with services using natural language.
That's cool.
And it's sort of cool. You, and it's the same UI. It's the, give me your, you know, sign up for my service, but you're speaking to it. It just feels more human.
Yeah.
It's sort of centered on what we do as humans, which is we form a relationship.
Interaction.
And then we interact with one another, and we pass data backwards and forwards. And that's what this conversation UI allows for now. It's just it's doing the same things that have been happening in the browser, but in a much more natural way. So it's very approachable. Everyone can approach this technology. That's why messaging is so important.
So on that theme, conversation, we have some questions. Oh, first one from Alan. Are these APIs free for anyone to call, or is there like a cost per call? How does it work? If I want to get started and use these APIs, is it going to cost me, or is it something that what do I need to do?
Yeah, so the 22 APIs that are available in the Cognizant services today are free to use. Now, they probably have some limitations, which they should go talk to each of the booths about what's included in them. But the services that were announced today that Cornelia talked about are free for use. And that's now there will be tiering, I'm going to guess.
Of course.
That if you want to get sort of big, if you're a big company, you want to get, you know, high scale SLAs, then there's a you'll probably want to pay a little bit so you get a higher service level. But if you're a developer, you just want to get going. You can get going, and it's got some cap, and they can go talk to the booths.
So if you want to get started with the bot framework, there's literally not a huge barrier. You can just go and do something right now.
Yeah.
All right, so next question. Is there any details on how these bots and their communications are being secured? How does authentication and authorization work?
So I can take that one.
Let's do it.
So basically, when you communicate in a channel, you know, you need to follow the rules of that channel.
Okay.
So, for example, if you're having a bot in email, I mean, you can only do what email can do. So most of the systems really have bots, you know, they're modeled after a person in the system in most cases. I think we'll see some apps start to do different things for bots, obviously, because people might think about them differently, and they can, you know, they have other issues that they might introduce. But I think generally, you know, the bot developer would follow whatever terms of use that particular channel has.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. So we only have about sort of 90 seconds.
Sure.
So let's finish up by looking at long-term vision. Where do you, I mean, obviously this is spurned by creativity, but where do you see these things going? We'll start with you, and then we'll end with you.
Yeah, well, I'll go back to what's, I think, Satya's vision, which is this conversation as a platform is a new wave, new platform. So in terms of vision, then the question is what's possible. So all the developers who are here at Build, the question is what can they invent? Like the deep vision,
right.
Saqib's application, you know, it's only limited by the imagination of a developer because the tools that are available are, you know, exponentially better than they were 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
And so with these APIs and these tools, it's really just your imagination for what you could do in a conversation channel. So I expect an explosion of just creativity and services and I am very excited about where we are and the fact that we're at the center of it and it's here at Build today. So it's a great time to be in the industry.
All right, we'll finish with you.
Yeah, I think one of the things I think that's going to be the most interesting is when we have bots and people interacting together. It's very early, and we're not even sure how that's going to impact the way people actually work.
Right.
But I think ultimately we hope that bots and intelligent systems you know, help you be more effective, and we have to learn how that works. But that's just something that really excites me, that we can leverage what people do so well and also leverage sort of the ability for systems to, you know, do a lot of the stuff maybe you don't feel like doing.
Well, thanks so much. That's a wrap. We are so excited, and we're going to cut now to a session. We'll see you next time.